But I would first like to welcome Angela Buchanan to Travel Fun. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
It's great to have you as a guest, and especially you're in the same time zone, so there wasn't any confusion with hours.
Right.
You're on the phone from Boulder, Colorado.
Correct.
And as I mentioned, you have a blog called Seasonal and Savory, and you seem like one heck of a cook.
Thank you so much.
And I do want to share right off that you are a teacher at CU Boulder, professor, and your area of study is rhetoric. And when you told me about that, I didn't know how to respond to that, and I was wondering what the connection was with cooking. So why don't you jump right in and tell us about what rhetoric is and maybe one of the special classes you have at CU Boulder that
Sure.
ties in your passion for cooking.
Right. It doesn't really seem like they're connected. And when I started graduate school, I didn't really make the connection with food. But over time, in part because I love cooking so much and I'm really interested in the study of foodways and food production and the culture of food, I did actually develop a class that's called Food and Culture, which is it's a communication class, which is what rhetoric basically is. And so it gave me an opportunity to integrate my interests in food in ways that, which lots of CU students are interested in this topic. So, and they cover lots of food-related issues. So it was a great way for me to combine my intellectual interests in food with my scholarly interests.
Give us an example of some of the things that you teach in this class, in this food and culture class. I'm intrigued.
Well, students self-select topics, and so they look at different social and cultural issues related to food, including things like genetically modified foods, agriculture subsidies, food additives, pretty much any kind of controversy. And in addition to controversies, they look at things like the slow food movement. We actually have a lot of CU students who are interested in and involved in the slow food movement. So, and probably the most fun part of the class is that they do a food memoir, which is where they reflect on some kind of a food experience that connects with their sense of personal or cultural identity. And those are always really fascinating. And so it's basically incorporating their interests in food with the generalized topic of the class, dealing with social, cultural, political issues surrounding food.
I love the idea of a food memoir, and I think that it is true that food conjures up so many memories and emotions and associations for us. So, and that happens a lot when we travel or when we find ourselves away from home or perhaps going home for the holidays.
Yes.
So you must have some great works that come out of that.
There are a lot of students who draw on their experiences with food from other cultures and travel, and they get a lot of rich experiences that way.
Let's talk a little bit about your blog,
okay?
SeasonalandSavory.com, that you've been doing for about a year.
Right.
And what are some of the, you have just such a terrific range of recipes on there. Share some of them with us and think of in preparation for the upcoming holidays.
Sure. Well, just as the blog title would suggest, I try really to develop recipes around seasonal produce as much as I can. So if you go to my blog right now, you're going to find a pretty good number of recipes dealing with pumpkin and winter squash, because We do get community-supported agriculture. We get vegetable share each week, and I find that very inspirational in terms of my recipes because I never know exactly what we'll get, and when I get the CSA box, then, you know, I get to hang out and think about something creative to do with vegetables that everybody will like. So some of the more recent recipes, I did a pumpkin crepe cake with a white chocolate ganache. My husband adores white chocolate, so that was a big hit. A sort of a more sophisticated pumpkin recipe that I did that I loved because it's not super sweet was I did a fresh pumpkin tart that I poached wedges of the fresh pie pumpkin in a honey vanilla bean glaze and used a puff pastry base for the wedges and then did an additional glaze with some honey and vanilla. That was a really nice, elegant kind of dessert that I think would be, in terms of the holidays, would be a really nice alternative to a traditional pumpkin pie.
And I love the idea of the puffed pastry. It automatically makes everything so much easier.
It does. It does. And yet it looks, you know, people associate puffed pastry with something very elegant, and it's a nice, not super heavy dessert, too. So those are some of the more recent things.
You have a recipe on here for chestnut and pumpkin soup.
Yes. Yes, that is with roasted chestnuts that I blended with some roasted pumpkin and really nice, very rich soup. Another thing I really try to do with my blog recipes is we don't eat very much meat, and so most of my recipes reflect that. We're not vegetarians, but most of our recipes are vegetarian, and a lot of them are vegan. When I do use meat, like I just did a cinnamon-rubbed sirloin salad where I grilled the sirloin and then on some butter lettuce with a fresh pear vinaigrette. Really nice.
Yum.
And, yeah, that I used some Rocky Mountain organic beef, which is sustainable, local. And so when we do eat meat, I really try to keep it something that's local, sustainable, that's ethically produced. So I do have some meat recipes. I'm not a vegetarian, but you will mostly find really interesting produce recipes. That's what I do and what I like. And yes, that soup was really good. It's vegan, and it would make a beautiful holiday vegan dish if you have vegans in the family.
What are some tips you have for holiday meals, holiday entertaining?
Well, we traditionally enjoy spending Thanksgiving with friends because our families are pretty far away. And we like to do you know, we like to do cooking share. We fortunately have friends who are very good cooks. And so part of it, I think, is capitalize on what people are good at. If someone is great at dessert, definitely have them make the dessert. If you're doing a turkey, we typically do buy a heritage turkey. And I'm a big advocate of brining for turkeys. So I always do a spice brine overnight, and it really makes a huge difference. I think the other tip is do as much in advance as you can. I try to do anything that can be reheated, side dishes, some kind of dessert. I try to do things that will keep. And also along the same line as making sure that you have food that everybody can eat, I always have a vegetarian and a vegan entree in addition to a meat-based entree. So I think that's just a nice thing to do, and it's good to give people options in terms of whatever they eat.
And I'm sure you have a good number of those recipes, excellent side dishes and
I do,
desserts
yeah.
and that kind of thing to bring. You have them at your blog, seasonalandsavory.com.
Yes.
I'm looking at it now. I think actually before Thanksgiving even hits, I have to try that beef and pumpkin chili.
That was good too, yes. Another pumpkin recipe.
How do you find inspiration for creating these recipes?
I genuinely tend to get my inspiration from the product. In other words, if I get a pumpkin or I get a rutabaga or I get a beautiful steak that is something I got locally, I like to think about what can I do with this that, will be a little bit different. But and I like to pull from a pretty wide palette of seasonings in terms of, I love international foods, and I think that the biggest investment anybody should make is probably the spice cabinet, because you can take very basic ingredients and do something really interesting with them if you just have lots of different spices on hand. So our spice cabinet is always a little overflowing, but we use them, and there's never 10-year-old cumin languishing in our cabinets. That doesn't really happen. So I think that's my biggest tip. You can take the most basic thing, and if you just use a different seasoning palette, you can really do something interesting with it.
You had a recipe up about 10 days ago, and it was an Indian yam stew, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that just looked wonderful, and it didn't seem too difficult to make.
No, that's the other thing. I think you can make really impressive food without, pulling out massive technique. That's something that I think you're talking about, the West African sweet potato stew, which has like a peanut sauce. And that's actually a crock pot recipe. That's something that you can simply load up in the morning, and you will have this lovely stew when you get home. And so I am also a big believer that you don't have to do really complicated things to make something that will impress everyone.
That sounds good to me. We're all short on time.
Okay.
I have been visiting with Angela Buchanan, and Angela's blog is seasonalandsavory.com. And really enjoying it, Angela, and definitely get that info up there on your profile about what you're doing at CU Boulder. I want to hear more about that.
Okay.
That sounds fascinating. Thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Voglio cannelloni per me, sì, per me. Un pochino te ne darò, sì, per te. Triste la tua dieta, quasi tutto esclude. Quanti sacrifici.